Recording is in progress, so we will call to order the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency regular board meeting of October 19th, 2022. I'll do the public comment information. There are three ways to participate. One is by emailing to vinagsapublic.comments@chicoca.gov. When you submit a comment via email, please indicate the item number your comment corresponds to in the subject line. It will be read into the record by name only during the public comment period. The second way is to do it verbally by Zoom or by telephone. And a member of the public may indicate their intent to speak by raising their hand at any time prior to the beginning of the session. Speakers will be called upon by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. If attending by Zoom, please click the raise hand button. If attending by telephone, dial *9 to raise your hand. And if you're here in person, I'll look up and you can raise your hand and we'll call you to come up. Item 1.1 was the call to order. 1.2 is the roll call. Linda Herman.
Thank you.
Board Member Tandem.
Here.
Board Member Kimmelshue.
Here.
Board Member Cooper.
Here.
Vice Chair Royer.
Here.
Chair Tuszynski.
Here.
Do we need to adjust the...
Oh, I don't know if it's my... Let me see. Do I need to mute the...
Is it all muted?
Let me see. I don't know if it's Linda's or if it was mine. Let me see. Sorry, we thought we had the technical thing taken care of. Let me see, speakers muted, microphone on this one is, trying to see if the microphone on this one is muted or not.
I try again, I think it was the okay. Laptop here.
Okay, I think we sound okay now.
But just make sure that they can hear you.
Can everybody still hear me out there? And okay, good. We got a nod from Director Tandon. Awesome. All right. So we will go to item 2, the consent agenda. We have 3 items on the consent agenda that will be enacted as 1 unless there's a request to poll. Item 2.1 is adoption of a resolution renewing authorization to conduct teleconference meetings for both the Vina GSA board and stakeholder advisory committee meetings. Item 2.2, approval of the minutes of the August 10th, 22 Vina GSA regular board meeting. And item 2.3, approval of the Vina GSA monthly financial status report. Is there a request to pull any item? Are there any comments on this item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to adopt. Items 2.1, 2, and 3.
Great.
Second.
Great. We have a motion from Vice Chair Royer and a second from Director Kimmelshue. Linda, at your convenience.
Certainly. Board Member Tannen? She said yes. I think you're muted, but I think you said yes.
Yes. Wow, you can read the lips. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, she said, wow, you can read lips. Yes.
And Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Boyer?
Yes.
Chair Tuszynski?
Aye. So that passes 5-0. Nothing was removed from consent. Item 4, business from the floor. Members of the public may address the board at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The board cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda. Do we have any business from the floor?
You have a hand raised.
I see Jim Brobeck has a hand up. We may want to unmute that laptop because I was having a hard time hearing Director Tandon. So Mr. Brobeck, begin speaking. And if I ask you to stop, it's only because we can't hear you in the room.
Very good. It does sound a bit better now that someone's microphone got turned off.
Yes, now I can hear you. Thank you. Please go ahead.
The so-called Delta Reform Act legislation of 2009 was intended to provide a more reliable water supply for California and to protect, restore, and enhance the Delta ecosystem. Unfortunately, the reliability of irrigation water supply continues to supersede the intention to respect the Delta ecosystem. And while the pumps continue to pull unreasonable amounts of water out of the Delta, the fish populations have practically disappeared. In order to achieve the co-equal goals, the state mandated south of Delta counties must reduce reliance on water exported from the Delta. But that reliance on pumping North State water out of the Delta has not diminished. The huge single tunnel object intends to supply those pumps by detouring around the increasingly saline delta. Shasta and Oroville reservoirs were meant to reduce demand on San Joaquin Valley aquifers, but the CVP and the SWP has only increased expectations of reliability, forcing demand for groundwater to escalate rather than diminish. Sites Reservoir will do nothing to decrease these unrealistic expectations, and conjunctive use of Sacramento Valley groundwater is meant to be the backstop to meet these unrealistic expectations. The state has known for decades that valley wells were running dry, streams were leaking into drained aquifers, and that the land surface was collapsing as water was removed from the ground, most especially in the San Joaquin Valley. Unfortunately, this pattern has migrated north into the Sacramento Valley. The goal of SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, is management and use of groundwater without causing undesirable results, such as chronic lowering of groundwater levels. But the VINA GSP allows for aquifer to operate at lower than historic levels, imperiling domestic wells, leaking the stream flow, and desiccating groundwater-dependent ecosystems, including the Chico Urban Forest. There are long-standing plans by the California Department of Water Resources to integrate the Tuscan Aquifer into the northern of the northern Sacramento Valley into the water market for sale to farms and cities south of the Delta. The department envisions turning the aquifer of our region into a fluctuating reservoir that can be drained during dry periods and artificially refilled during hoped for wet years with so-called surplus water. Water purveyors would like to join this scheme by being the agents of groundwater recharge and subsequent capture of ownership of the water in storage. The quality of life in the Northern Sacramento Valley communities, economies, and environment rest on a foundation of public trust in a stable aquifer managed for the common good. An aquifer managed to feed water into the emerging groundwater market and governed by emergency decree out of Sacramento will not fulfill this promise. Thanks for taking my comment this evening.
Thank you for making it. I see no other comments, so we will move on in the agenda. We have no public hearings, so we will move to the regular agenda. Item 6.1, presentation from the Northern California Water Association. Mr. Guy, welcome to our group.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Is our mic or something?
Yeah, the mic is embedded.
It's the bar.
Yes, we hear you.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's a real pleasure to be here with you tonight and to talk about something that's so important to everybody in Northern California, and that's of water. I just want to start just to acknowledge a little bit about we just live in this wonderful place, of course, the Sacramento Valley. And of course, it's all dependent upon water in one form or another. And I think the hallmark of just a valley is that we do manage water for just about everything. We have 2 million acres of farms in the valley. We have 7 national wildlife refuges, 50 state wildlife areas, 4 runs of salmon, 2 of which are endangered. We have about 3 to 4 million people, depending on how you count, mostly in the Sacramento metropolitan area. And it's just, as well as the recreational opportunities you see nearby. And water is really important for all of these purposes. So that's one of the great joys of being in Northern California Water Association, working to make sure that all of these purposes have water for their use. And of course, in years like this, it's particularly challenging. We can all kind of see and feel that. Kind of the concept that we kind of think about in the largest scale is this idea of ridgetop river mount water management. Manage water, obviously. The fires have really shaped that historically on the headwaters over the last 7-8 years. You all know that very well. And that's really driven a new process for forest health and all the things that are important. Water agencies are very actively involved in that, working on that. You go down through the system, obviously, we need to have vital rivers and streams. We need to have healthy soil for farming. We have safe drinking water. We have a program, the North State Drinking Water Solutions Network, that is really designed for making sure that communities have access to safe drinking water in this valley. And you look around the region, you try to do all of these purposes, and then you go to the lower part of the system, major effort underway to reactivate the floodplains. I think a really exciting opportunity to improve fish and wildlife conditions in the region by reactivating our historic floodplain in a way in harmony with the farms and the communities. It's super exciting. And then, of course, that leads to what you see there on the bottom of that graph, which is why you're here tonight. And what we're going to talk about, and that's obviously sustainable groundwater management. The aquifer system is obviously an essential part of the landscape, and is something that obviously we're paying increasing attention paid to all the time. And of course, in our view, a functional Sacramento Valley really depends upon all these pieces of the landscape being healthy, including the appropriate aquifer system that is connected to the surface water system. As part of the regional dynamic, we have the joy of kind of serving as a regional coordinator with respect to groundwater. Just really admire the work that we do here in Butte County. You have an amazing team with Tammy and Christina, some of the consultants that are here tonight. Just an amazing team working on this issue. And then, of course, we have Supervisor Kim Lafue, who's on our board, and I think provides some amazing leadership. So we get the joy of trying to coordinate across the entire valley. And I think that's something that, again, really separates this valley from other parts of the state. I know when you've seen some of the DWR comments to other parts of the state when they submitted their SIGMA plans, you know, they were typically about 2 years ahead of us. One of the comments was is that there was no consistency across the plans, no coordination, no integration. People were kind of talking, kind of conflicting waves amongst each other. We have really, I think, worked hard in this valley to try to do that differently. And I think DWR very much appreciates that as it's going through its SIGMA review. So in that role, we have been working with all of the local GSAs in the Sacramento Valley, coordinating in a variety of ways. And want to talk a little bit about that tonight. And bottom line, we're here to support your efforts. And so anything we can be doing to support your efforts to make you more successful in your efforts, that's what we want to do. Last year, we knew we were going to be going into a dry year. We just knew it. And we started doing some scenario planning a little over a year ago now. And we started with kind of surface water dynamics. And obviously, the operations of the system really dictate kind of the way water is moved in this valley. But then we had a special session on groundwater and brought the leaders in the region together to think about groundwater resources. And out of that came these priority actions. And I'm just going to summarize. There were two plans that have already been approved by DWR in the region, two in Yuba County. They had not really started on the planning process. They were approved by DWR. There's some issues that were proposed as a result of that that we'll be focusing on a little bit as we go forward. But we'll get started here in the Sacramento Valley. So as we look to the future, as far as the implementation, the group that came together, we really focused on kind of five areas. And I think most of these are pretty self-evident, but I just want to touch on a couple of them in a little more detail. The first is obviously ensuring safe drinking water for communities. That goes without saying. We have to have safe drinking water for communities. There's a lot of wells that are going dry this year, and we all know that across the region. The good news is there is a variety of state and federal funding, as well as some nonprofit funding. It's been made available to the local areas. There's a series of consolidations that are going on in the region to help deliver water to communities. There was water transfer this year in the region, specifically to urban areas, to help them get through the year. I think of places like Woodland, Davis, and Almeda had some water transfers to really help them get through the year. And then obviously funding to help with groundwater infrastructure, knowing that a lot of these communities depend upon groundwater. And so there's a concerted effort, and our job through this North State Drinking Water Solution Network that I mentioned is to help link up the available funding from the state and federal agencies with the need at the local level. So I think it's a concerted effort going on. really appreciate what they're doing in the county to try to resolve that. It's tricky, but people are working really hard at it. The second issue, obviously, is groundwater recharge. I think there's just a real momentum right now around the idea of groundwater recharge. We get into these dry series of years, and obviously people start really focusing on this idea that we have to capture every available drop of water, not knowing what the next year is going to look like. So the governor came out with a water supply strategy about a month ago, and the bulk of that water supply strategy is really trying to advance groundwater recharge. I think there's a lot of effort in this region to try to do that. Obviously, that's a great thing. We get that storm, whether it's an ephemeral storm, whether it's available surface water, or whatever, we have to be able to be ready at that moment, obviously, to capture that and be able to recharge that into the groundwater. That happens in a variety of forms. A lot of that's through natural infiltration. Some of it is through creeks and streams. And then there's some programs in some areas where you actually see wells that are actually doing that. So it comes in a variety of ways, but there's a lot of effort to do that. And the state right now is just making this priority. So I think if there's opportunities here locally to do recharge and help with the groundwater sustainability, now is a good time to be moving forward with that. The third is, in my view, probably the most complicated issue in California water. There's a lot of complicated issues, but there's nothing more complicated in my view than surface groundwater interaction. It was the biggest issue when Sustainable Groundwater Management Act was developed in Sacramento back in 2014. This was the issue that really, when all the discussions came down to the end, this is the one that really kind of was vexing and finally ends up with what's now we know undesirable result six, which is groundwater surface water interaction and the surface water depletions. So this is complicated. We have a technical team that has been working on this. The consultants from throughout the region have been coordinating on this. We work with MDK engineers out of Sacramento who are very good at this and have been working very hard to try to understand the resource. And then, of course, is what you ultimately need is you need better monitoring, both surface water monitoring, so it's a concerted effort to improve gauges. We've lost some gauges over time. We have to be regularly state some of the gauges in certain key areas to better understand the surface water dynamic, and then of course groundwater monitoring is such a big part of their GSP, and that's obviously the other element of this. So we've done a coordinated effort to try to understand the monitoring. much better DOP right now because of that. And I suspect that will continue to evolve as we go forward. And so the next DOP will be better. Obviously, your annual reports will continue to get better over time. I think that's what the team was signaling all about, is this continual improvement of understanding and managing the resource going forward. So anything we can get out there, obviously, we will. So yeah, this Ridge Top River map is really bringing this whole landscape together to provide a very healthy landscape, which in turn, of course, supports the vital rivers, the Delta, all the things that are important in California. And we'll continue to work in that spirit to try to help create vibrant way of life in this region. So anyway, I'll stop there and we'll welcome further conversation, questions, ideas. We'll look forward to continuing the conversation with you.
Great, thank you so much. Are there any questions from board members?
David, I have a quick question. So you have access to all the plans that have been submitted throughout the Sacramento Valley?
Yes.
Okay, and are they in any way similar? I mean, are they kind of covering the same issues and do they look similar? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I might have a sense of that as yeah. well.
And the reason I'm asking that yeah. is that, you know, if the Department of Water Resources is looking at these plans and one is way out here and the rest of them are like this, you know, I would think that that might be a concern to them. So,
yeah, I mean, my gut sense on this is that I think there are a lot of similarities. And again, in part because I think that this ongoing coordination we've been doing for, you know, probably 6-7 years, as I think really helped that, a lot of information sharing across different DSPs and everybody is working together. So I think there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, every DSP reflects the local conditions. Mm-hmm. Some conditions are a little easier to document, to talk about than others, I think. So there's probably some differences there. And, but yeah, I mean, I think hopefully they're all going to be successful. I think they will be going forward. I suspect we'll get comments from DWR. Suite of things, but I feel like they're all going to be kind of resolvable, just keep moving forward. And of course, right now, being in the dry cycle, you know, we just have to start implementing. We don't have the luxury of focusing on the plan so much as having to focus on implementation. And so I think that's really the path forward.
And then just one other question. One of the big issues in this area has been interbasin coordination between different subbasins. Are you hearing anything from Department of Water Resources in regards to that and how important that could possibly be and when they're looking at our plans?
Well, I just hear nothing but support and encouragement to continue that effort. And again, I think that's been a real great effort. I think it's, again, separating this region, quite honestly, from other parts of the state where that isn't happening. So again, I really commend you all because you guys are really interested in that. I think let's continue to build on that. And I think that, you know, you need to understand that information better. You're enjoying GSP, want to understand that information better. And hopefully you'll have an information exchange across the GSP so that people can understand each other better and avoid any conflicts and be able to manage the resource together with that conflict as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I had a question for you. You had talked about the interconnection of groundwater and surface water, and you talked about what Christina is doing. I'm curious how what your organization is doing interconnects, if you will, with what Christina's doing. Is it you have stuff that's on a regional basis that you're connecting her with? Are you supplementing the efforts that we're doing here? What is that interconnection?
Yeah, thank you. Good question. Yeah, I think one, we're just trying to be supportive of your efforts and continue that effort, whether it's funding or just encouragement, I think can help you with some of that coordination. So I think that is, and then I do think that there's been some supplementation of that information, again, with a focus on undesirable result 6, on focus on groundwater dependent ecosystems, you know, all the things that kind of surround that dynamic. So, and I think we're going to again need to do more. We're going to be prepared in 2025 to have plans for the EWR that are going to be robust and will address this issue. This is going to be a 30-year effort, in my view, but each 5-year increment, I hope we can just keep getting better at it, right? Mm-hmm. Happen in 2025 is not going to be particularly sophisticated, I have a feeling, but hopefully it will be step forward and it'll be a good trajectory, right? To keep moving forward and then hopefully getting better each 5 years.
Yeah, that was one of our big information gaps that we talked about, and we made the decisions that we could based on the data that we had. So that's why you had mentioned the work that she's doing, and that's why I was curious what you're doing. And so I'm getting, perfect. Any other questions that have arisen with our board members?
Just one more comment. David, I'm really glad that you mentioned the 5-year increments, because in over time, how much better data we're going to have. We're going to be more sophisticated in the fact that, and I think that's the brilliant part of this whole Sigma legislation, is that we have the opportunity to make adjustments to our plan. And I think that's so very important. I think that's very important for the public to understand, is that as we get better data, we can make better decisions and better choices. And these GSPs that we just submitted are just the starting point. In a long, long, like you said, 30-year process. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think it goes without saying too that you guys are organized. You're working well as a, you know, a team, as the GFP, and I think that for the GSA, and that's really important. And again, the great thing about Sigma is it does allow for local opportunities to manage the resource. And you know, I have no doubt you guys are going to be successful in that spirit. That the TV Summit probably not going to be successful, and that's the state and step in and do what it needs to do. But I think it's an opportunity for locals to do this, and you guys are really well placed.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our partner in our GSP, Rock Creek Reclamation District. There's a director who's sitting kind of over your shoulder, if you will, if you pivot your head over there. So anyway, yeah, we're fortunate that we have good partners in our project as well. So thank you. And I think there's a few of them that are, including Chair Crane, who are on the Zoom. And that gives me a good little pivot point, almost like a professional segue, to see if there's any public comments or questions. Give the opportunity for people to raise their hand if they have any questions that they'd like me to forward, almost the operator approach to you. And I'm seeing none, so great. Oh, do you see somebody? I'm sorry, I don't see a hand up here. Well, I'm not seeing one. Linda, it's not seeing one either, so great. Well, thank you. We really appreciate you coming.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the opportunity. It's sure great to see everybody in person.
That's great, thank you. So we will move to item 6.2, which is consideration of an amendment to the 2022-23 VINA GSA budget. Cami Loser.
All right, thank you, Chair Tuchinski and members of the board. So what you have before you is, let me flip to it, is an amendment to our budget. If you recall, in July, we approved a budget of about $15,127. And if you recall, each of the member agencies also did an additional contribution for litigation services. And the Board of Supervisors also approved some one-time funding to the Department of Water Resources and Water and Resource Conservation for contributions towards some of the consultants for Sigma grant applications, the funding mechanism, et cetera, as well as additional legal services. So we wanted to update the budget to reflect some of those expenditures and revenues that we anticipate over the course of this next fiscal year. So in the budget amendment, you'll see what was approved in July, what some of the proposed changes are and additions, and then the amended budget for some of those line items. One thing that I will note is I did separate out legal services from litigation services, just to separate out Valerie's kind of everyday GSA legal consultation versus the litigation for the GSA. And then we have some of our other standard expenses, insurance, audit, our website, and some contingency funds. We did also review where we were at the end of the fiscal year. We had, in the financial report, we had accounted for some payments for the litigation services, but we hadn't actually paid those out because we were still waiting for some of the for the additional contributions from the member agency. So we kind of adjusted that. We did have some reserves, and so we wanted to update the budget to reflect that. And then again, at the bottom is some of the in-kind contributions from staff time that that are not being charged to the GSA, but then also just accounting for some of the consultant costs that we anticipate, again, for the SUMA grant application, the funding mechanism, and what else are we using? Oh, annual reports. So just to have those that on there as well. So I'll entertain any questions.
Are there any questions from board members? I'm seeing none from our board members.
This requires a four vote, right? Four out of five, since it's a mid-year adjustment to the budget.
Yes, yes. And I will now, I'm sorry. Jim Brobeck had his hand up and is now down. So I don't see that there's any questions from the audience.
It's showing us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, there it is. It's on one screen and it's not on my other screen. So thank you. So Mr. Brobeck, 3 minutes.
Chair, my hand is not up. I did not raise my hand. My screen shows black. I don't have a hand raise. But,
It's weird. It's on one screen, one of our screens and not the other. So, okay. If you don't have any questions, great. Thank you so much. We just wanted to make sure we recognized you. All right. So if there's no discussion among board members, I'll entertain a motion.
I would move approval of 6.2.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion from Director Kimmelshue and a second from Vice Chair Royer. And this does require, because it's a budgetary thing, a 4/5 approval. Roll call vote.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Tandon?
Approve it, yes.
She approved, sorry.
She said yes, approve it, yes.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Yes.
Vice Chair Royer?
Yes.
And Chair Chisinski?
Yes. So that passes 5-0. We will move to item 6.3, an update on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Round 2 grant application. Christina Buck.
Thank you, good evening. So we wanted to give an update on this topic. Lots of activity going on around preparation of an application for DWR Sigma Round 2. They did officially open the solicitation on October 4th, and they set a deadline of November 30th. For the deadline of submission. So we are now moving quickly to get projects developed and an application put together for that. So just to remind you of where we've come from, back in August, we had a joint meeting of the two GSA boards and received direction on a list of projects to further develop out project details with tasks and deliverables and budget numbers and schedules. And so that work has been happening over the last couple of months. We do have primarily three consultants on board to help with that: David's Engineering, Ludorf Scalmanini Consultant Engineers, and Montgomery and Associates. And they each have kind of a list of projects that they're focusing on development of. And then Lisa Porta from Montgomery and Associates also has a task to help us pull the application together and some of the other content pieces of the application for submission. So they've been a great team and have done a lot of work to scope up those projects for public discussion through, we held 4 public workshops on Zoom over the last week and a half or so. And those were successful and an opportunity to run down an overview of each of the projects and then receive public input and perspectives and some comments on those projects, either tasks that should be considered or perspectives or, you know, increase the budget here or good input along the way. We do have facilitation support services on board again, helping us with this topic. So Christy Clark from Stantec and her associate Marisa is helping facilitate those and keep everybody organized. So that's a great help to us as staff, just, you know, handling a lot of some of the logistics around those workshops. And they'll also be helping with meeting notes and things like that on this topic at the upcoming SHAC meeting. So where we're at right now is kind of taking things that we heard from those public workshops, some revisions to the project, details, packaging that up for the SHAC. And they'll be meeting next week to discuss the projects, identify, you know, which ones they're gonna recommend to be included in the grant application, all or a subset of them. And then the application does ask for a ranking of the projects. DWR wants to know kind of what your priority is if they need to partially fund your application, they'll have some clear direction on, you know, what your priority projects are. So that will be a discussion with the SHAC as well, and getting their input on kind of the ranking of the projects. That will come back to you for a joint meeting with your board and Rock Creek at November 9th. And at that point, we'll get direction from you both on how, on the application content, and a resolution to submit the application. And then we'll have just about 3 weeks to package it up and get it submitted. So that is the process and where we're at and where we're headed.
Thank you, Christina. Are there any questions from members of the board? I just have one question. Linda will officially read into the record that we got a letter from the AGUBC Board of Directors. And their letter is going to be very appropriate in the next discussion. But just in terms of framing that next discussion, they talked about the concept of having the most plans possible and having the most, you know, to get the most funding possible. I'm kind of condensing, but that's kind of the idea. I'm not as familiar with these grant procedures for this line. I've done other grants, but not this one. What is your experience, and perhaps Director Kimbleshue may know as well from dealing with the state, is it best to go for the most, or is it the best to target to the things that we think are the most pragmatic for us and try to maximize the funding for those particular projects? Does having a full menu, a full laundry list improve our chances, or might that not be the necessarily the best strategy? I'm just throwing that out there as a framing tool, not for us to make a decision tonight because this is an information item, but just responding to that question that I took away from their letter.
Yeah, and maybe Cammy can weigh on this too. I think there's some that's been talked about a bit, and I think there's some different thoughts out there. I think we want to be strategic and applying for well-developed projects that we can reasonably do in the timeframe that we have for this grant, which is, that in itself is a complicated answer apparently from DWR, but right now our guidance has been toward the end of 2026. So, you know, there's a short timeframe to do this work with this grant money. So that's one consideration. But I think the fact that, you know, DWR has us rank the projects in the applications, I mean, at that point, it gives them a clear, you know, some clear direction on what our priorities are. So you could argue, why not put the whole kitchen sink in the list and then let them decide? So I think those are some considerations. There are the PSP, which is the proposal solicitation package, says that you can apply for a minimum of 1 million and a maximum of 20. So we certainly won't go over 20. But there are many basins, you know, going after kind of the same pot of money. So those are the considerations.
I think also that the AGUBC was responding to, in some of the workshops, the consultants gave some cost estimates as well. And when you added them all up, it didn't come to 20 million, but as we are refining the projects, providing more detail, taking into consideration some of the comments received and developing the budgets, I think we're getting a little closer to 20 million easily. So it probably is what we'll end up getting at. But I think the important thing is really developing projects that we can implement within the timeline.
Great, perfect, thank you. And yeah, it was just a framing thing. No criticism of their letter at all. There was simply just, it raised that question in a framing way for me. So thank you so much. And just want to make sure no other questions potentially from the board. Look for any public comments. Jim, I apologize, just on one of our screens, your hand just keeps remaining up. So I just want, it's not on the other one. Just wanted to make sure that that wasn't a ghost hand. Okay, I see that you haven't responded, don't want to comment. That's fantastic. We always welcome your comments, but just didn't want to exclude. So with that, we will close this item. We'll move on to item 7, communications and reports. We have the Rock Creek Reclamation District Groundwater Sustainability Agency update from Cammy, and then there's going to be a discussion about an email from SHAC member Jim Brobeck and the management committee's response.
All right, so just a quick update for the Rock Creek Reclamation District. They, as you know, they've been working on their Sand Creek project, so they wanted me to give a little update on that, which is, I'll say, is kind of in a holding pattern. One of the areas that they're looking at has a conservation, an area that they're looking at for a potential project. It has a conservation easement on it. And so the NRCS is requiring some, what we call Section 106. It's an archaeological investigation with the State Historic Preservation Officer. And so that has to be conducted for that site, as well as there are some potential endangered species. So those studies are currently being conducted, but they will be moving forward with just that analysis to for that Sand Creek project. And they did cancel their last meeting, board meeting that they have. So their next board meeting will be the joint meeting with this board. And they did have their Prop 218 was approved, and they anticipate doing some billing and invoicing in December of this year. So hopefully they'll get some funding. And that's all I have to report on that.
Great. Christina, are you going to do the other item, the email? Or is that
Kim? It's just for information, I think.
For information, great, perfect. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, and with that, we will adjourn to the joint Vina GSA Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA meeting on November 9th at 5:30 p.m. in this very chamber. Thank you, everybody.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.